Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, 7 minutes.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Blue Liner on Point. Wow. And as you can hear my voice, I'll
It's a great start.
Yeah, very much so. And as you can hear, that's my partner right there.
Hello, Cap fans. This is Anna Knox coming from beautiful Centerville, Virginia.
And I'm speaking to you from our digs at the Hannabon Hovel here in beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so want to give a hearty welcome to all our fans in all of the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and, of course, the District of Columbia, and all of our Caps fans all around the world. Yes, we do have some. And Welcome again to another episode. Just before I say anything else and embarrass myself further, I want to apologize, as you could probably hear in the sound of my voice. Winter isn't on the calendar yet, but I've already gotten myself a cold, and that certainly affected things, last night and certainly now. And so I managed to get myself sick, but we're still putting a show out there for everybody, so if it gets too annoying, you can always turn it off, hopefully.
Just listen to me.
Or, yeah, just listen to Anna, and because that'll probably be much more pleasing for you guys anyway. Last night was yet a second roundtable discussion with the guys on the Sports on the Hill podcast. And Robbie and Carol were nice enough to ask us both back once again. It coincided with a live game last night. Caps played the Islanders over at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Not a good result, not a good effort all around.
No, which it really sucked.
We'll discuss. Yeah, that's to the point, yeah. To the power play point, that's pretty much how it went. Again, Robbie and Carol Porter III were nice enough to ask us back. We had some thoughts about what was going on. They had a guy on there who was an old friend of Robbie's who is a Rangers fan. He gave his thoughts on that particular game.
I have to admit, though, as a coming Rangers fan, he sounded really cool. Really, he sounded like a very nice guy, and yeah. I think he had a good time at Capital One. What is it? It's not, I keep calling it Verizon Center. What is it now?
It's a Capital One Arena.
Yeah, there you go. And that's great. So
got to remember to have something in your wallet.
Bad. Stop. So Robbie and Carol, cheers. Thanks. You guys are awesome as usual, and we will have you somehow on this show at some point. But then one of us has to not be on the show, but that's okay. We'll figure it out, still think we should all.
We will definitely figure something out by hook or by crook. I don't know how just right this moment, but it'll get done. I promise you that. And I'm glad we can kind of unite fans of both shows together, because that's one of the reasons why we do this, is to bring all Caps fans everywhere together. So that's really awesome that we can be a small part in that. But that's for later on down the road. So because we did a lot of recapping between the five of us on last night's show, Sports on the Hill, mad shout out to them, of course. As always, we will post the link in the show description when you download it. Another reason to download it, please download the Power Play Point podcast and subscribe. More on that later. And basically after this segment, after this show, which will be a quick one, relatively short one, shorter, it will be tacked on our segment from last night, which is about 25 minutes, be tacked on at, to the end so that you can hear that as part of this podcast. Robbie and Carol once again graciously gave us their permission to do that. So that's another great thing about our relationship with them. So we can show you their content, lead you to their content as well. Now let's pretty much get into it. So the news. Okay, so another piece of news. This is from a while ago because stupid me forgot to add this to the news that we reported on in last week's show. Of course, everybody knows by now that Nathan Walker is no longer a Washington Capital. Nathan Walker is now an Edmonton Oiler. Because his contract is structured so that he had to clear waivers. That what the plan was to send him down to Hershey so that he could actually get some playing time, which has been a bone of contention between a certain co-host of mine and myself.
What?
Yes. And
crazy talk.
Yeah. So the plan was to send him down to Hershey so that he could get that, because he wasn't getting a whole lot of that up with the Caps. And, of course, the risk was, well, he's got to clear waivers in order for him to be sent down. And guess what? Not only the Oilers claimed him, but I think it was at least two or three other teams tried to claim him, too. The Oilers just happened to be first. So they got him. He's no longer a Capital. He's left the building. So he is number 79 no more, but always have fond memories of him making the team and, of course, his first goal ever by an Australian-born player.
And, not Australian-born.
Well, he was okay, all right, so actually born in Cardiff, Wales, okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Accurate.
I got to pull the nerd card at some point, but I'm just saying. Yeah,
I guess I'm not going to make teacher's pet today.
No.
With
a cold?
Yeah. Don't remind me. But he grew up in Australia, of course. Mm-hmm. As actually most of his hockey training he got over in the Czech Republic, but the first Australian national to crack the regular lineup and get a goal. And we'll always remember him and love him for that, and for his grit and determination. And honestly, I wish him nothing but complete and utter success.
Me too. With
the Oilers. So I just hope he does well, just not against us.
Right. Like I want to see him do well in his career, but not when he's having to play
certainly
the Caps.
Not against.
But that's okay. He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah, he was a great player. I think great attitude, great heart, and I think the Oilers could definitely use what he's got. So I think he's now in a much better position to succeed, which is great for him. Okay, so in other news, there was the big story, something of a big story. The first round pick that the Caps spent on in 2015 was on a goalie named Ilya Samsonov. He is in the last year of his contract over in the KHL. He's playing for Metallurg Magnitogorsk. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly.
I think you did, but that's okay.
But he's in the last year of that contract there with that team. So it was actually a story was broke out that general manager Brian McClellan went over there to kind of put the workings in place for a deal to get him over here. Now, his contract doesn't actually expire until, I think it's like March the 30th or something like that, when this coming season ends for the, actually ends. So they can't really negotiate with him yet, except, you know, informally. But the plan is to get him over here. Now, it's unclear, whether or not the plan is for him to be Holtby's backup, or is he going to be a backup or starter in the AHL? Nobody's sure yet, because we all know Philip Grubauer becomes a restricted free agent after this year. If he even lasts that long, he might be dealt at the deadline, is my guess. He's actually one of two players that's probably going to be dealt at the deadline, is my guess. The bigger prize being John Carlson, but I've mentioned that many times. Now, but nobody is certain anyway what the plan's going to be. Maybe he spends a year in the AHL as a starter or a backup. Maybe they bring up Phoenix Copley and re-sign him, because he's also in the last year of his contract, and make him the backup to replace Grubauer, because it's assumed that pretty much around there's a lot of whispers among the team that this year is his last as a Cap, and that in all reality wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either, because I feel like we've seen a whole lot of Holtby recently, which is fine, because I love the guy. I mean, he's phenomenal and whatever, but last night, it was not a good game. He looked tired, and I think that it was discussed between Joe B. and Locker last night on whether or not if Holtby started tonight and then because he was pulled yesterday and they had to put Grubauer in, whether or not Holtby would start again tonight against the Avalanche. So I'm not really sure what's going to go on that end. And now, just going back, tell me the player's name that you had just mentioned. Not Copley.
The Russian?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, the talk is about Ilya Samsonov is his name.
Okay.
He was the
Caps. And he's young, right?
Yeah, he's 22, I think he is.
Oh, I thought he was young. I thought he was 20. Okay.
He was like 18 or 19 when he was drafted.
Okay, maybe that's what it was, because I was going to say
that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And two and a half years ago, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because the draft was in the summertime, and
God, we're seeing so many young kids these days.
Well, that's
crazy.
That's the mantra, you know.
I know.
Whole league is getting younger, faster, more skilled. It's
true.
A lot of the changes that were made, whether indirectly or directly, you know, kind of led the Caps down that primrose path. And so, for better or for worse, that's what we've got. And you know, you're seeing the results of that, again, for better or for worse. But that's big news, because, as I said, it's going to shake up the goalie rotation because it's going to force management's hand on what to do with both Grubauer and Phoenix Copley as far as long-term plans. And the buzz is, as I said, that Grubauer is probably done after this year. He will probably be signed by another team, if not traded at the deadline. But the good thing is, since he's an RFA, restricted free agent, the Caps will get some sort of compensation for him if another team signs him. But anything can happen, and it's a long ways to both the trade deadline and the end of the season. So we'll see. But one thing is certain, Ilya Samsonov is definitely part of the long-term plans for the Caps, barring any long-term injuries. Now, speaking of injuries with this guy, I've read that he's already had two. He's already had a hernia surgery, which was not long after he was drafted. And the first part of this season, he had a concussion, and he hasn't played since. So they're trying to work him back into the lineup, but he's slowly but surely working his way back into game shape. But that actually, I mean, I'm going to put a positive spin on this and say that it sounds to me like he can bounce back from injuries, and that for a goalie, that's a good thing.
That's true.
So I'm going to leave it in that light. You can put whatever you know, put it whatever light you want. I'm going to see it in a positive light and say, well, he gets hurt, but he can bounce back, which I think long term.
But maybe he gets hurt because he's an aggressive goalie, and maybe that's what we need. You know, like
that's something.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's something as well. Moving on to our next topic, and I don't want to spend too much time on this at all, because, and you'll hear a lot of this, in the replay of our segment on Sports on the Hill that you'll hear later on, but last night's game was just,
sucked.
Abysmal.
It really was.
I'm being needlessly polite here. Yeah, it
sucks. Really.
It sucked like a heavy-duty toilet plunger is what it did. Yeah, let my true feelings show here. I don't know what the hell happened.
Don't go all crazy with the toilet plunger. I mean, that's like, I don't know.
You have some experience with that?
Yeah, right? So,
care to
don't
share?
Go all crazy with the language. No.
Okay.
Anyways, no, it sucked. And I'm going to say that even though we watched a good first period or so with Carol and Robbie, I stayed up, watched the rest of the game, and it didn't get any better. And what I saw was a lot of missed passes, you just name it. It was just, I don't know what was going on. They were just out of sync. They weren't together. They were off, and I wasn't happy. I had a lot of F-bombs I was throwing at the screen.
This is how bad they were last night. Matt freaking Niskanen was on the ice for the first two goals against. Matt flipping Niskanen. Supposed to be the Caps' best guy on both ends, or at least in our end anyway. And he was on the ice. He was beaten by the forwards both times. And I saw that. I thought I was hallucinating because of all the freaking, I don't even know what I'm taking anymore. Dayquil, NyQuil, sometime Quil, poke me in
something
the head
good.
With a Quil. I don't know, but I thought I was not seeing what I was seeing at first, and then I checked the score sheet, and yeah, he was a minus two at the end of it all, and I don't know.
It wasn't pretty. I felt like the game last night was very much early season. What the hell, Caps? Like, trying to find, you know, we've talked about consistency and chemistry and whatever else. I don't know what was going on last night. There wasn't any major shakeup. There wasn't anything. But you know what? Holtby was off for him to get pulled.
Everybody
and,
was
you know,
off.
Hey, let's...
I take that back. I don't think Holtby had a horrible game last night.
It wasn't horrible, but it was... But I also feel like when your goalie is frustrated and feeling defeated, there's that contagious doom and gloom feeling. And it was kind of like his body language, his whatever going into the game.
Which is why I think Trotz pulled him, because I think he looked like he was going to take somebody's head off, was how pissed off he was.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, he just looked, what the F? Like, come on, get to it. And, you know, he's pissed and he's wanting things to happen like they had been the games previous. And we just didn't see it last night. We saw a tired, and I'm just going to go with the word sloppy. I mean, I didn't see anything last night. Yeah, one goal wasn't. I was hoping that they would have taken that and rallied, and I didn't see anything. They were sloppy. It was not good. And so I'm hoping tonight against the Avalanche, things change. We're back home, you know, that they seem to do well, but that also kind of makes me nervous, though. I mean, everyone wants to play in their home. you know, stadium, arena, ice rink, whatever you want to call it. But you guys, you know, they've got to be able to have this amazing chemistry and consistency and determination and everything else outside of Washington, D.C. And last night was not pretty. I agree. And it was just a sloppy game.
So Orlov gets the goal. Dmitry Orlov gets the goal in about halfway through the third to avoid the shutout. That was just kind of window dressing, to be honest, because like you said, they didn't really that didn't provide anything of a spark. They were pretty much beaten by then anyway. Just all kinds of bad. All around. Really bad was... Okay, so Niskanen must have been on the ice for that goal because he ended up a minus one. The Lars Eller line... I told you before what I thought of him. Him and one Andrei Burakovsky were both on the ice for some really bad... I said this on last week's edition of the Sports on the Hill, you know, when Carol kind of directed a question at me about, hey, what's going on with Orpik and why is he still getting a ton of minutes? I said, well, it's not just Orpik, you know, and defense is not just one guy or even the whole decor. Everybody has to play defense. In hockey, defense is a team thing. It's not just one guy or one group of guys. It's everybody that's responsible for it. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, when that line was out there, it was disaster. And like you said, they were nothing more than, you know, sloppier than a kindergartner's artwork. It was that bad.
Another teacher example.
I'm just kidding. Trying to earn teacher's pet back again.
You're trying. It's not working, but it's all. We'll see how the end of the show goes. Maybe I'll change. Maybe you'll get a star. No guarantees. I can be tough.
I'll just throw up all the paste that I ate and stick my stars that way.
There you go.
How about that?
There you go. That's good stuff.
Anyway,
that's good stuff. Sloppy game last night.
Terrible. I don't want to talk about it anymore, except for the fact that it was against a freaking division rival. Guys, come on! If you can't get up for that, I mean, what are you going to get up for? I mean, please.
Yeah.
These are the guys that you're fighting against for a position in the playoffs. And in case you haven't noticed, they've been consistently good enough to stay in the top three through these first 20-odd games. So you're going to need to rack up wins against this team because it's very likely that you're going to end up in a tiebreak scenario. So I don't know what you got to do. You know, put the liquid heat in your jocks? I don't know. But something. Something.
I thought you were going to make... when you said what you got to do, I thought you were going to, like, pull a Paisano's joke there, and I was going to have a problem with it, but...
What you want me to do about that?
So stop. Anyways, moving on. Last night sucked, so
yeah,
moving on.
Definitely. Okay, so so on to our next topic. And I'm not... Look, I'm not totally against... I'm glad to see this guy succeed because he's been one of the better things about the team, which was riding a multi-game win streak towards the end of this last homestand they had. And, of course, we're talking about Mr. Tom Wilson.
Yes, we are.
And as everybody knows by now, or they should, the man is Anna's...
My favorite.
Anna's ultimate teacher's pet, the favorite.
He's gold star.
And he is... obviously, his game is finally... looks to be rounding into form, and at times I've been one of his detractors and at the same time one of his defenders, and this is you know, it's a love-hate thing, because sometimes when he's out there getting penalties, it usually means he's taking somebody else off with him.
So sorry.
It's fine. Look, I'm gonna have live bodily functions going on too. If you could,
I'm sure you're hearing
my functions because of this cold I have. So no need to apologize. But anyway, at times I have been for and against this guy, you know, getting too much of a chance, because a lot like Lars Eller is now, he's done both good and bad things on the ice. But as we've seen in this past week, he's earned himself a star of the game within the top three twice. And he's also
So there needs to be no Eller comparison.
Well, look, I'm only
no,
brought him,
I there only doesn't.
Brought him up as another example, not really a comparison, but the fact that he does or did good and bad things on the ice. So
because Eller's, yeah. All right, but yes, and now. So we're talking about Tommy. It's my boy. Love him. And I said it last night, and I'm going to say it numerous times. He has finally come into his own. He has found the confidence. He's no longer trying to figure out what to do. He's not just a fighter. He is, yes, he does drop the gloves. Yes, he is hated by a lot of fans. Not our fans, a lot of hockey fans. I get it. But man, he is showing speed, skill on the ice. He's kind of playing everywhere. I like it. I like his vibe. I like his energy. I like everything about him. Always have. So you're not allowed to say anything negative about number 43.
I'm not really planning on saying anything too negative. Just a tad bit of constructive criticism first, and look, I would say right now his game is like what I used to say about Marcus Johansson. His game is rounding into form. He's not 100% at his potential, I would say. Now, the way he's looked recently, yes, he belongs on that top line. And I don't know if you want to mention it, because if you don't, I will. The way he looked, the way he looked when he scored that goal against the Rangers. You had to love that. I know you saw that.
How he looked when he scored them. Keep going.
He blew by Ryan McDonagh, who is probably Ryan McDonagh is probably one of the top 15 defensemen in the whole league, and he made him look like he flew by him, or made him look like he was standing still.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like he has come into his own, and there's this speed and skill side of Wilson that people need to see, aside from dropping the gloves and penalty and, you know, all the sin bin time. And like I said last night, his, you know, lots of people focused on, oh, the bromance and this and that. Okay, we've moved on from that, because now he is totally focused on hockey. This is what we should be talking about with Tom Wilson, not who his roommates are, not who his girlfriend is, not what he's, you know, anything else in the sin bin, whatever else. I want to talk about his skills. And there was that moment on the ice. I was blown away. I was like, holy
shitty hockey.
Look at him go. Like at that point, I was like, is that, you know, he was skating fast and he looked awesome. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know what you were talking about at first. I was kind of drawing a blank there for a sec, but yeah, super proud. And I think he's going to kick ass, and you and I are going to go at it toe to toe if you start throwing Tommy under the bus.
No, absolutely not.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I think right now, the way he's playing,
kind of,
yeah, he belongs. He's playing like he belongs on that top line. And
I agree.
I mean, I don't know. It's a meme within our fan base. You know, everybody calls him, you know, top line Tom. I I might be an idiot about this, but I've yet to figure out if that's meant as a compliment or as meant as like, you know, some sort of side joke. I certainly hope not the latter, because like I said, he's earned his time there and he's playing like he belongs. You don't have. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say it. Like, I don't see how it could be. And of course, it's going to be like out here. They're going to make it, you know, something that it doesn't need to be. But it's, I don't see how it could be anything but a compliment, because he has earned top line. He's there. He's done it. He now, I feel like, you know, we're out of rookie stage 100%, and he has earned it. And I like it. It's a good chemistry. They know each other. They play well. He's all over the ice. I just like what I see. So I don't know. Maybe there's a joke in there somewhere, but well, I don't know what the top.
That's kind of what I was getting at. I don't know if it's meant to be a joke or something or what, but he's earned that time. And what I was going to say was, you don't have a week like what he just had if you're not up to it, if you're not capable of doing it. This isn't luck.
I agree.
In his junior days, he was an offensive threat, a legit offensive threat. And I'm going to do a very muted impersonation of Pierre McGuire here, but in his days, with the Plymouth Whalers of the Ontario Hockey League, that's how he played. He was skilled at both ends of the ice. He was a playmaker, and he was a goal scorer, and he was a force on both sides, on either blue line set. And so it's not like the guy doesn't know how to play the game. And I don't think a lot of Caps fans, you know, got to see that side of him. But now they are. And I hope, like you, that it's changing their opinion of him.
And I agree.
And so, you know, I got to look it up. I'm not sure if this is a contract year for him or not. But that might also, I mean, you can't lie, that might also be playing a part in it, but still, you know, I only hope that it just continues to be something that, you know, continues with him. Now, I mentioned that I had something of a journey with liking and disliking him. Well, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to an Aldi's, but they sell all kinds of off-the-wall drinks. And one of them is a sparkling water that has a blackberry cucumber flavoring in it. And I first tried this a while ago, and I didn't hate it, but I wasn't sure if I liked it either. And I kept on drinking it, and I kept on drinking it, and it grew on me. And so I think that's how Tom Wilson's games kind of developed, is giving.
I hope you never write like a Hallmark card or a poem to your wife, because really, did you just compare Tom Wilson to a seltzer drink, basically?
A flavored seltzer drink.
A flavored water.
Sure.
Terrible.
Water's good for you. Why not?
Mm-mm.
But hey,
compare him to another athlete. Compare him to something else, but really a flavored water.
I'm not comparing him to that. I'm comparing my.
No, but it is him, though, because you're like.
How I grew to
feel
admire
about
him. Right. It's how
I. That's weird.
How I feel about him.
No. Mm-mm. No, find something else to. It's weird.
Okay, well, you call it weird. I call it accurate. But I think that kind of a thing, in all seriousness, resonates with all Caps fans, because they saw him and they were like, okay, we spent a first round draft pick on this guy. Let's see what he can do. And he spent all of 2 years on the fourth line getting into fights, and everybody was expecting this big guy who would crash the net and score, and they didn't get to see that. And unfortunately, I think part of that was his first coach was a guy that totally mismanaged the team, so much so that he was not asked back. We won't mention his name, but I think, unfortunately, that stunted his development a little bit. And but, you know, he just needed time. And this is something I've said before. He just needed the time and the opportunity. And you can see what he does, and he's got the legs, he's got the wheels, he's got the speed, and he can put the puck in the net. And he can also create space. He can dig it out from along the boards. You need that. You need that kind of force to wear down the opposition in a 60-minute game, which is also crucial come playoff time when you're playing the same damn people over and over again. Like, God, do I have to play up against this guy? Do I have to lean up against this guy again and try to win this battle? You know, and it's a demoralizing thing. And if he's on the top line, he's going to see action against the other team's top line more than likely in the playoffs. So this is the top line, Tom. Yes, it's a good thing. There, did I redeem myself, Miss Teacher?
A little bit.
Okay, fine.
A little bit. You're slowly getting there.
Well, that's my rendition of the Love Fest. If you want to hear more, Sports on the Hill podcast, we'll tack it on here. Tip your waitresses, yada, yada, yada. But no, they Carol and Anna, that's he's one of their favorites. Look, he's slowly but surely becoming one of my favorites. I just want to explain where I was coming from on him.
I understand. No, I understand. Like he didn't do, you know, he wasn't this fantastic immediate star in the beginning, and there was a ton of sin bin moments and minutes and whatever you want to call it. Right. But I feel like now he's redeemed himself and now we're moving forward. And that's it. I like the guy, and no, I would never compare him to a flavored water. Yeah.
Well, so I will not so much add an asterisk to this, but just say that I want to see more. Okay, I'm not about to anoint him the second coming of, yeah, I don't know, whoever, Eric Lindros or some other power forward in recent memory that anybody can talk about. Not about to crown him that just yet. I want to see more, but I'm just saying right now, the way he's been playing is good, but not great. Right, he's deserving of the spot where he is. So he belongs there. Let's see more. Let's see him continue the consistency and go from there, is what I'm saying.
Okay. I agree.
Okay. Well, so I'm glad we agree on something.
At the very end of the show, yes, I will agree. I want to see more, but I'm going to see more because he's good. He's got speed. He's got skills.
Oh, this isn't over. Yeah, this isn't over yet. This isn't over yet.
No, it's not.
Not for Tom Wilson, but the show neither, because I understand, Miss Teacher, you got a tweet.
Yes.
You got a tweet.
I did.
You got an actual tweet from somebody who listened to the show.
Which is this. I was like, wait, what is this? What is this?
Spill.
Second coming.
Spill, young lady.
My tweet, and this is from a new friend, Dave. And Dave and I have been joking about...
What's his handle?
The Paisano commercials. What's that?
What's his handle?
Modern Moron. So, and but I don't remember the numbers. It's like 0022. No, I can't. I'll have to look it up. Maybe it's his birthday or something. But anyways, likes the show. Which is great, and I so appreciate that. And Dave and I will probably meet for beers in Centerville because I think he's moving here, which is awesome because I'm like, we need more fans out here. So I'm not the only annoying one at a bar being like, what the hell? But he mentioned, aside from liking the show, that we need to go adult. Because he finally picked up on the fact that I have some vivid vocabulary.
You got a potty mouth, lady.
I do. But it's so fun. And I get bleeped out on the show with these, Packstrom or whatever goal or whatever it is that you fill in over me. So he was requesting a go adult. And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Because wouldn't that be so much more fun? Not that we need to have a trash talking show, because, come on, I'm still a mom and a teacher, but I do love my F-bombs.
Well, okay, so my response to that, first of all, is, Dave, thank you so much.
Right,
for
way
your,
to go, Dave.
Your love of the show, and do please keep your tweets coming. If not to me, then to continue on with your relationship with Anna, and that's great.
Right.
And hashtag PowerPlayPoint, by the way, or PowerPlayPoint podcast.
Yes.
Keep that going, please. But thank you, first of all. Now, as far as us going a little more adult, well, there's a reason why. And not just...
Dun, dun, dun.
Not just for humor, which I think I try, in all seriousness, I try to add that because, we're not even at the top of the list as far as Caps fan related podcasts, I don't think, and I've never made us out to be that, and one day we might be, I'm hoping, but even if we're not, that's fine, but
it's okay.
We make fun of ourselves a lot here, so I think the part of the reason I do that is because for the humor, but the main reason I do it is because iTunes, they used to be iTunes, now they're Apple Podcasts. Restricts your range, restricts your availability of a podcast. They will slap an explicit label on your podcast if they deem that the language is too coarse over the course, pun intended, of all of your episodes. So to prevent that, I have no choice but to bleep out all the nasty words that get spilled out every now and again, which I have done myself every now and again. So
That's like once in a blue moon, though.
Well,
I've got...
Well, it's once in a blue liner in a moon, but yeah, that's... Oh. But I have done that too, and I just, I'm greedy for, I'll admit it, I'm greedy for a bigger audience because I want every Caps fan, wherever, to listen to what we have to offer because I think it's a good message. And I think we're a solid hockey and humanistic community. And so I want to share that with as many people as I can. If iTunes says, well, you got to clean it up or we'll give you a nasty gram and not as many people will be able to get to it. Cause I want the kids to listen too.
Well, since you put it that way, now that I have to be Mary Poppins.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's shows like, not to get into a whole other debate here, but there's shows like SpongeBob SquarePants that have, stuff for the kids and stuff for adults too. And, we can be a lot like that. But yeah,
okay.
I want the kids to listen too because, my stepkids, were two of my first fans and they were, they heard the episodes and there was a time where I was thinking of just, chucking it for a long time, and I actually did. And they convinced me, said, Dad, you kind of have to get back to doing this because you were good at it. It sounded good. And, so that's another reason, not to get too sloppy sentimental about it, but that's...
It's a little sentimental, but that's okay.
Yeah, I want to give out... I want us to have something for every Caps fan that listens, whether you started with the team back in 74, pretty close to what I did, or you're just starting this year or last year. So
Okay.
That, I mean, that,
totally respect that.
The long way for that answer, but that's why. And that's why we do that.
So. And again, I'm a mom and I have, and I'm also a teacher. So I'm absolutely able to filter myself. But every once in a while, as we've talked about getting the Irish up,
it slips out.
It slips. It's not like you're bleeping out every other word. I have to get really, that may be in 2 weeks when we have a special episode.
Well, I was about to say, that's not to say, now Dave, that's not to say that we won't have special editions of the show where we'll warn everybody beforehand. You might want to put earplugs in the kiddies' ears if they're, you know, anywhere close. Because I'm not going to give away any details, but Anna and
be a good time.
I will have a very special holiday edition of the Power Play Point podcast in about a couple of weeks. I guarantee you that.
It'll be a good time.
Okay, so on that note, we are going to cut off this part of our segment, like a gangrenous limb, and segue into last night's, our appearance on last night's Sports on the Hill podcast, once again hosted by Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross. They can be heard on Facebook Live every Monday evening at 7 p.m. sharp. They give out the call. It's a call-in show. It's through True Talk Radio Live, I think it is. It's Blog Talk Radio is another network they're on, and they give in their call in number. They always post their links on the Facebook room that Anna and I are both in, which is the True Caps Fans Room. But basically, just search for Sports on the Hill podcast within Facebook. You'll find them. You'll find their archive link. I'll post the same, as I said, on this episode's description. And, I think I got some good stuff there, as I said many times. All things DC sports, DC Divas football, Washington Valor Arena football, if that's your thing. So everything DC sports you can imagine, they cover. They talk about it. Carol's a big Redskins fan. Carol's also happens to be a big boxing fan as well. He's got some good fight stories, just so you know, if you're into that as well. So just a lot of things there for the DC sports fan. I highly recommend it. It's always an entertaining, great show to listen to. So we, once again, had the privilege of being on that. So without any further ado, here's last night's roundtable cap segment on that. And so hopefully from that, we'll get back to our winning ways here. So let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
All right. Well, he's going on the breakaway. He should have gone on the breakaway. But anyway, so we're going to bring in our next couple of guests. They're on the Power Play Point podcast. We're going to first bring in Gil. How are you doing today, Gil?
Not as well, but like I told you before. When you asked me back fighting a cold, but starting to get over that. But otherwise, it's doing pretty good. Thanks for having us back on. Really appreciate it.
What's going on, Gil? Glad to have you back on, man. Hope you feel better. Sorry to hear you under the weather.
Yeah, appreciate it. Keep me free.
No problem.
So, all right, we're going to bring in his co-host, Anna. How are you doing today, Anna?
I'm doing great. I'm great. I'm in my last week of until I go on Christmas break, so I'm pushing through. I'm in a great mood. Lots of my boys play, and had a lot of Tommy things to say tonight.
I guess I should have warned you guys, though. Welcome to the Tom Wilson.
Okay. It's, Carol and Anna, Tom Wilson is the best worship show. He's been kicking ass. Come on.
Yeah, you got to give him his props, man. You got to give him his props. Tommy has matured into an all-around hockey player now. He's not just a physical guy. Being on that top line, he's stepped up and elevating this game and playing, up at that level, which is a beautiful thing to see some young talent develop and play well, which is something of rarity in this D.C. area for all the teams.
I agree. And I've said for a while now that I've been watching Tommy from the beginning, and I know it was all about him dropping the gloves, and then there was this whole, romance thing with Michael Latta and Berkey, and that became a focal point. And I just kept going back to like, well, hold on a second, he's got some skills, he just needs to have a chance. And I feel like now this season more than anything is grown up, he's focused on the game, and he's showing us exactly why he deserves to be on the top line. Minus the porn stash that's going on tonight, but that's okay.
Hey, going facial hair is a manly thing to do in hockey. You got to do it.
I'm all for it, except in early stages when you look like some creeper. But yeah, it's Tommy, so whatever he does, I'm like, hey, just go for it.
Hey, he's what, 22, probably having trouble growing that beard, man. These dudes, 23, 24. They struggling to get that facial hair, man. It's a struggle for these young guys. Look at Mickey when he tried to grow his. That's an atrocity.
Oh, God. That's like impossible,
right? I'm Jewish. I've never had to. There's a lot more trouble than those, I guess. So.
But, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm excited to see his progression. It's been interesting because for a long time, I've wanted him to go on that for top line, and he would play well at a time, and then he would regress for a few moments, and give basically Barry Trotz an out for why to move him. So I think the key has to be that he needs to keep proving over a long period of time that he can sustain this. And I think he's a great shooter. I think if you go back to his minor league days, he was actually a goal scorer. People forget that he's kind of become this sort of more of a pest, a lot of teams, sort of think of him now as the next Brad Marchand, I like that. He's able to be top 20 in drawing penalties from the other team in the league. That's a great statistic, and I don't need him to drop the glove every game, I think, to play great hockey, and I'm excited to see some of his offensive potential, and him to get a little bit more confidence in shooting, and know that he's got a great shot. I think some of these goals that happened this last week were just him shooting it at the net and not thinking too much about it.
I know they didn't just call a penalty on that play, did they? It's no way they could have called a penalty on that play because he had the puck. They can't call the cross check. I'm interested to see how they call that play. But yeah, Wilson, he I didn't know about his his skill that he had until you told me about it, Robbie. And like you said, he's had a chance to use it and stay on the top line. The first time he was up there, like you said, he played well, but he fell off and he got put back on the third line. But now he understands his role, knows what he has to do. He's out there making space, and when he gets a chance, he's going straight to the net, and he's not taking it for granted. He's out there trying to take advantage of every opportunity he has out there. And just the fact, he's on a penalty kill also, that Trotz is trusting him on that. It's showing you how much trust that he's developed in him and that he sees the development also, because that's a huge responsibility to be on the penalty kill.
Great. So, I want to ask you a quick question. I thought that we've been playing really well through this home stand. We had a lot of road games early in the season. We played better at home these last couple. What do you think has sort of been the recipe for what has turned it around for the Caps?
Well, I think a lot of consistency in the line combinations. They finally found that chemistry that seems to have taken. Everybody, of course, everybody's going to say, well, putting your two best players, Ovi and Backstrom, kind of started it all. But there's a little bit more than that. I think we're getting solid play throughout all four lines, and that's always key. If you don't have a line that you don't really, if you can't trust putting out there, then that shortens your bench. You don't want to shorten your bench too early in the game. So the fact that, they finally are from first line through fourth, and all three of their defensive pairings is what's key. That's the catalyst for power play right now. They're sort of buzzing in the zone. We finally got it out. They had almost a minute of zone time in that where we were looking just exhausted, and we're trying to get our players off the ice. Nicky's doing a good job with the forecheck to give some of our players an opportunity to switch out from the penalty killers. And right now we're ranked 20th in the penalty kill. There's about 48 seconds left in the power play. It's still 1-0 Islanders, 8:25 or so left in the first period. I'm happy that the Islanders just fumbled it back to center. It'll be interesting to see how these next couple of minutes go in this game, because I think that we can gain a lot of momentum if we're able to continue to play well. They're able to get a lot of zone time, though. It's making me a little bit nervous. But we'll continue to monitor it. That was a great play to make sure that it got out to center. So about 20 seconds left in the power play. We'll keep it monitoring. I wanted to take a look at some of the upcoming games as well with you guys. This week, we play on December 12th against Colorado at 7 p.m. That game is at home again. And then we sort of are alternating away, then home. And then we go away on Thursday, December 14th, at Boston. It's another 7 o'clock game. And then on Saturday, we play Anaheim at 8 o'clock, also a home game. So I definitely like that we've got four games this week, but they're sort of pretty evenly split after the back-to-back that's playing tonight and tomorrow. So we've just got to sort of get through this. It's going to be a little bit of a tough stretch, but the rest of the week is a little bit easier. Colorado, I'll start off with Gil. What are some of your thoughts when you hear Colorado's coming to town tomorrow?
Last time, of course, they played them games. They were really, really awful. Looking for a much better effort. I think they took them way too lightly. I think they were the worst team in the league last year. So I think they might have gone in thinking it was going to be an easy 2 points. I hope they'll come in with that attitude again. They're a little bit of a surprise this year. Of course, they made that big trade earlier got a lot of prospects, but they're a lot better than we think, so I'm hoping they come again with a much better attitude towards the game, because there's so much parity, like the guys you talk about. And then the next game, Boston, they're always a tough out, so I expect that to be a board-to-board battle all 60 minutes. That's never an easy game. And then the last one is Anaheim. I can go on blank. Who is it? Anaheim at home. Anaheim. I've been watching them a lot this year. They're really banged up. Their record doesn't really indicate their true team, because basically they're putting out an AHL lineup with all of the injuries they have. I think their leading point scorer had something like less than a dozen points or something like that. I don't know. It's hard to see them that. So used to so many of their great teams they put on the ice, but I don't think that one's going to be an easy one either, because they can be a pretty tough out as well. But you never know. Yeah. So there's a good offensive rush there for a moment in the Caps game, but it's sort of end to end now, going back and forth. There's 6:23 left in the first period. Still Islanders warm. Capitals nothing. Anna, I want to talk to you about the same couple of games. We'll start with Colorado. What were some of your thoughts on getting revenge on them?
Yeah, well, I guess one of those odd moments is when I agree with Gil. I have to say, yeah, the Colorado game, I remember it being quite disappointing last time they played. But I think going back to an interview I saw, or I read earlier today, and yes, it was Tom Wilson, but that's not the reason why I read it. But he was pointing out the fact that the team is coming together, and that, you know, for all four lines, you know, everyone's coming together. They've got the speed, and now we've moved on from consistency to determination. And I think that was the word that stuck out. So I think if these guys stay determined, they can do well. I mean, on the road, Boston drives me nuts, but there's no reason why, you know, we can't play just as well and keep it up. And Anaheim, unfortunately, I have one of those jinx things where I went to the Caps Ducks game last year, and it wasn't pretty. We won, but it was still wasn't a fun game. But I think if we stick with being consistent and with the chemistry and now moving on to determination to just keep moving forward.
Yeah, and the one thing I wanted to point out, we've won 8 out of our last 10, which has been pretty impressive. A lot of those have been home games, so I'm hoping that we can continue to...
Yeah, I saw that developing. It was a little bit of miscommunication, and the Islanders took advantage of it. It's still early. This team, like you say, we always play this team tough. They went the same way, the other way, when we played them last time. We jumped out early, and they came back. They even getting the fortunate bounce this time, and it went their way. Unfortunately, you know, we had an opportunity on the other end and didn't take advantage, and they did.
Yeah, the Islanders have I thought he got over
quick enough to be able to stop that. It was the second effort that got it. That's what it was. He stopped it with his pad, but he didn't secure it, and he stayed with Anders Lee. He always gets a goal against us. You know he's going to get at least one. But I wanted to mention about the Colorado game. Bernie chimed in to say that tonight they're playing Pittsburgh, actually, and they have Bernier in the net. So tomorrow it'll be Varlamov, and it looks like, what are they going to challenge? There's a discussion at the Islanders bench about that goal. Let's see what's going on.
Oh, interesting there. I have to know. Maybe.
Yes, they might be saying he pushed it. He pushed it in. You can't. I don't know. I'm not even going to have to try to figure that one out. And they still say 1-0, so I'm gonna take it.
They took it away.
Bernie said that they said that he pushed the pad into the goal. That's why they reversed it.
Good.
Well, that changed the whole mood of the show right there.
I feel better. So much better.
Yeah. So, it's really interesting. The Islanders have been up and down these last couple of weeks. Yeah, they played really well for a stretch. They've lost a bunch of games lately. They're sort of this hard team to figure out in a lot of ways. So it'll be interesting to see how this game goes and whether or not this moment in this game can make a difference in the momentum. So hopefully we can build off of this and continue to hopefully push through and maybe even get a goal in the first period. That would be helpful. It's been an interesting couple of weeks for us. I've just kind of been impressed by the way that the Capitals have turned things around. I wasn't expecting such a quick gelling of the first line, but I was happy to see it happen. I was so impressed that our top line in one of the games was able to become third star tonight in the entire NHL, but they couldn't figure out who to give it to because Ovechkin had 3 assists and a goal, and you give it to Tom Wilson who had 2 goals and 2 assists, and you give it to Nick Backstrom who also had a goal and 2 assists. So they gave it to the line had 11 points, which is a pretty insane statistic. I can't even remember the last time one of our lines did that well. So they're explaining it now to Barry Trotz. We're back in real time. I'm curious what that conversation was going like.
They're going back, I guess.
Right there. Okay, we're probably all delayed, but right there, you can't do that.
Yes, let's just see what they decide. But the upcoming schedule is very interesting. You know, with Colorado and Anaheim, these are all winnable games. They are in Boston. Like you already said, we won. We won 9 out of 10 against them. So these are all winnable games as long as they execute and don't come out like they came out against the Islanders tonight.
So they were up to, then they said no, and now you you can challenge that again? Like,
they never challenged it before. They waved it off initially, so now they have to have inconclusive evidence that it wasn't goalie interference, I believe. Because, you know, at this point, if you challenge it after that call, it's not that they're saying it was a goal.
Yeah, the puck was under his pay. I don't know. That's he pushed. He clearly pushed the pad.
Right, right.
Yeah, he clearly pushed the pad. I guess they're trying to say that when the puck was trickling under before he bit the pad, they're trying to say that maybe it would have went through there before he pushed the pad. I guess that's what they're trying to challenge, that the puck was going through before he did that. I guess
the push had no effect on it.
Let's see what he says.
Yeah, but I think because they called it
no goal.
No goal.
Awesome.
That's awesome. All right. Yeah, because I think there's no way they can inconclusively prove that it was going to go in without the push.
Yeah.
I think we got lucky that it was called a no goal on the ice. I think if it was called the other way, we probably wouldn't have won that challenge. So got a little bit lucky there. We have to now make it count. At least get it out of the zone. Start to buzz a little bit more in there. So I think we need to get the cycle game going. We need to get them tired on the defensive side. I think they're making this game a little bit too easy for them right now. So I agree.
Yeah, Wilson got to hit somebody. I think they're steering clear of him because they know that he's the catalyst. Last game, they made the mistake of hitting Wilson and waking him up, and he came out and had three massive hits in a row, and then that just started everything else. So I think folks are starting to realize that if you mess with anybody on the top nine and get Wilson started, it's going to be trouble.
Right. I like to see Backstrom score.
Yeah, he scored two games in a row.
I'm wearing the Nick Backstrom t-shirt right now. I may have to. By the intermission that we're not doing better, I may have to go back to my koozie one. But I love Nick. He's always been right up there with Ovi. It's like my favorite all-time Capitals. I was really happy that he got on the scoring sheet for a couple of games there last week. It's been a long time. It's been 20 games since he last scored. So it was good to see him get one here. In fact, he just cleared the zone. A great play off the end boards, but it was just offside, I believe, by Ovechkin. It was a nifty play, though. Bounce off of the sideboards to try to spring Ovechkin, but unfortunately Ovechkin was in ahead of the play. So it's 3:55 left in the first period, and I think they're going to be a TV timeout. I don't know. There's a lot of jawing going on by Ovechkin.
He's saying he was onside. He caught the puck off his hand and dropped it in the zone. He thought he dropped it in before he got in there, but it was too close. They was gonna call it anyway, though. They was gonna call the hand pass either way. So I don't even know why he gonna even trip. But yeah, we do need a late goal here, at least a momentum swing to go into the second.
Yeah, that was quite a hit right there. Capitals are trying to enter the zone. Yeah.
A couple good shots there.
That was a nice shot from the point, but unfortunately no one was hit there to hammer home the rebound. I do like the sort of the tenacity that this fourth line is showing and trying to do a forecheck, but unfortunately the Islanders are able to spoil that. So we're at 3:15 left in the first period. It's been a close 1-0. New York is still up over the Capitals if you're just getting in. But it's been definitely a close matchup. The Islanders are now buzzing once again in the cap zone, 3 minutes left. And it's a good stop by Holpe and down low some defensive work. Tavares trying to do some nifty passing to get it to a player to get it down low. But we're swarming there. We're trying to get it out. Unfortunately, the Islanders are able to get to the puck. They're able to throw it down deep again.
It's going to be a long game.
It's one of those grinded out Metropolitan Division matchups. They're able to sort of get it back into their zone, but immediately they're able to exit the zone. So
here we go. Come on.
Enough forecheck here. And so we need to do better. There's a little bit of a turnover. A great play. Spin it back.
Damn, hold on.
Oh.
frustrating. It's back to center again. They're trying to regroup here. 2 minutes left in the first period. So we're going to have to get into Wizards soccer in a second. It's already 7:45. I know that we're going to have to jump into that. But I wanted to thank you, Gil and Anna, for a great roundtable as always. We really appreciate the conversation. We'll definitely have you guys on in January, and we really appreciate all the time. I hope that you guys have a great holiday season, and we'll definitely talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope you had a great birthday. Happy holidays, and we'll definitely be talking, I'm sure. Oh, there we go, over social media. Look at that fight. There we go.
Yeah, I do like to draft you right at the blue line.
It's time.
So I appreciate it, and... I started a bit of a fight there.
I want to see. I want to see Tommy and Cutterbug drop the gloves. That'd be a hell of a fight.
Sounds
good. All right. Well, thank you, Gil. Thank you, Anna. I'm gonna switch gears here to our Wizards conversation, but we'll definitely continue to bring scoring updates for the rest of. This Caps game, and we appreciate you both as always.
All right, sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
All right, y'all take it easy, and y'all catch y'all later.
Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday.
All right, you too. We'll go ahead and end the Facebook Live feed.
Hello, me again. Sorry to pop back in. Hope you enjoyed that add-on segment, Roundtable Part 2 with the Sports on the Hill podcast. Just want to come back on for some real quick admin stuff. Robbie asked that I plug the main website, which is sportsothp.com, as well. That's the main website. So once again, sportsothp.com. Sportsothp.com is the main website to go to. Catch any current or past episode, for that matter, of the Sports on the Hill podcast. And yet again, want to thank both Robbie and Carol Porter III for having us on. And like we mentioned before, hope to have them on our show, or maybe we make another roundtable again. Who knows? But certainly be getting with them again very, very soon. Also is just as important, make sure we get the word out here. I realize it's Christmas time, but please, please, whatever you can, go to the website blueliner77.podbean.com. That's B-L-U-E. Let's try that again. B-L-U-E-L-I-N-E-R 77.podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. And there's the donate button there. You can donate to the registered PayPal account there. Please, whatever you decide to give, no matter how little, it'll be a big, huge help. I mentioned last week, we're looking to get new equipment, pay for some expenses, keep the show going. So whatever you feel like giving, great. But even if you don't give, that's fine. But whatever you want to contribute, we would greatly appreciate it here at the show. Like I said, we've got a lot of costs and expenses coming up, so anything you can dole out this season before end of the month, that would be fantastic. So hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back next week for another full episode.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes available at blueliner77.podbean.com, Apple Podcasts, and the Podbean app. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.